Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Of Ask the Pastor. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Just fantastic. We've had a wonderful day and so excited to be with our listeners this evening as we honor our founding fathers, certainly the God of our nation who has founded us, given us our freedom, and best of all, just this time to gather together and say thank you, Lord. It's a very special time on Independence Day because at the same time that we celebrate freedom and our independence, we are keenly aware of our gratitude and all that we owe to those who have given so much and for the very freedom we have in Christ. It's so very special. Jim, would you begin our program in the right way by opening us in prayer this time?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, where do we begin to thank you, Father, for putting us in the greatest nation of all time. Father, you put us in the United States of America, not on our own merit, and we are so grateful. Father, we pray that you continue to keep your hedge of protection around us. Lord, we are one nation under God. May we never forget that. And Father, we pray for the many that stand today in arms protecting this land, this free land that's not free. Father, we love you, and we ask your hand on this evening, this July 4th evening, Father, where we celebrate our nation's beginning. Lord, thank you for your plan of salvation, where one day we will rule with you and reign with you in paradise. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I thank you so much for that, Jim. You know, we're very honored tonight to have a very special guest with us. And that is, of course, Pastor Greg Baxter, just a wonderful individual, a man of great faith. Pastor Greg is from Warrensburg, Missouri. He grew up as part of a military family, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior at the age of 10, and surrendered to the ministry at the age of 23. He attended Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas, Columbus State University, Columbus, Georgia, and Liberty University, where he received his Doctor of Ministry degree. He was ordained to the gospel ministry in March of 1983. After pastoring two churches in the Dallas, Texas area, he served as a pastor of the Baptist Bible Fellowship and as a minister to military, as an Army chaplain for over 20 years at various military bases in the U.S. and overseas. In November of 2003, he retired from the Army and became pastor of the Faith Journey Church on December 1st, 2003. He and his wife, Lenora, have been married for 35 years. They have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. Greg, on behalf of our listeners, Jim Simmons and I welcome you to Ask the Pastor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lyons. I appreciate being here.
Pastor Greg, could I ask you to share how you came to know Christ and his call to the ministry?
Yes, Jim. When I was 10 years old, my father was sent overseas to Germany, and we went back home to Missouri waiting for housing overseas. And my grandmother and mom were faithful to take us children to church, and I heard the gospel. I'll never forget. Pastor Bowen was a one-arm Assembly of God pastor. He had lost his arm in a farm accident, and he preached that night on hell. And I realized at that time that I needed a Savior, and I came forward. I can still remember one of the ladies of the church leading me to Christ, and I began my walk with the Lord many years ago. And then when I was a teenager, I was in and out of church, as many teenagers do. I spent 4 years as an enlisted soldier or airman in the Air Force, trying to find my place in life. And just before I was discharged, I went to church and heard the gospel again and surrendered to full-time ministry. And God then called me, and I changed my profession from wanting to be a lawyer to serving the Lord faithfully, and that began this long journey of serving the Lord in full-time ministry, and I don't regret a moment.
Mm. Well, that's an exciting transition. I didn't realize that. So you went from being a prosecutor to a person who gives their testimony. That's pretty special.
I love that.
Nice transition. Tell me, Greg, would you share a little bit of your life as a chaplain? I think a lot of people really don't have a comprehension of what that role is and perhaps how it differs from being a church pastor.
Yes. During my years at Dallas Seminary, I was always enamored with the military, and I thought about chaplain ministry, but I really wasn't convinced. And so during my first year of seminary, one of my a pastor from an adjoining town was part of the Texas National Guard, and he kind of mentored me and encouraged me, and I became a chaplain candidate in 1981. And during my time at Dallas Seminary, I was a chaplain candidate in the Army National Guard. I was commissioned as a second lieutenant, and honestly, Dr. Lyons, I'll be perfectly frank about it. The money was great. So as a seminarian, I needed the cash, and I had 4 years of enlisted time, so I knew the military. And so it was great to get commissioned as a second lieutenant and get paid for drill and going to summer camp. And then God began to move in my heart, and I really thought that this might be something that I would be interested in. And my supervisory chaplain kept saying, Greg, you need to go on active duty. But I kept resisting, and finally, when I was finished seminary, I was pastoring a church. I resigned that church, and then the doors just miraculously opened, really. The process you can imagine with anything military or government takes time. But from the time that I submitted my paperwork to the time I was on active duty at my first assignment was about 4 months. So I entered active duty, and I was endorsed as a chaplain as part of the Baptist Bible Fellowship, as a missionary representing them, representing the Independent Baptist denomination or fellowship, as we call it. And I thought I was going to stay 3 years, but I ended up staying, of course, for an entire career. And actually, I represent all of the churches of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. At the same time, I minister to provide ministry to every soldier and family member of my unit. Either I provide it, or I resource or find ways to help that person of faith find their faith niche with whatever particular group that they're a part of, and try to help them along in their journey as well. So you work on the battalion staff for the commander. advising him on morals, morale, and spiritual issues in the unit. And it is certainly a challenge and a blessing to be able to serve our military in that way.
Certainly, thank you so much for your service and what you've given back to our country and the lives that you've been able to touch, the way God could use that position. And just to remind our listeners, we are observing the 4th of July, America's Independence, and that's one of the reasons for this particular special focus. And as a part of this, we're expressing our appreciation to all our military and the various branches of the service. For example, one of the great unsung heroes of our country is the United States Coast Guard. They are unusual in that although it's considered one of the five branches of the armed services, it does not trace its chain of command through the Department of Defense. In fact, instead, it is a part of the Department of Homeland Security. As such, it's responsible for protecting our shores and inland waterways. So this goes out to all of those who serve our country through the United States Coast Guard.
Thank you so much for your service, both as a veteran and now as a pastor. We feel you're in a unique position to know the needs of our military and their families. We know that you recently identified a series of principles to help minister and encourage our military community. One of those was what you referred to as go with the flow. Would you explain to our listeners what you mean by that?
Yes, in a military community particularly, we work around this cycle we call the permanent change of station, or PCS. Military members move on a very regular basis. It's very cyclical. Normally, officers will stay at a particular post or installation for between 2 and 3 years. Enlisted personnel, you usually stay maybe a year or two more. But there's this cycle of moving constantly, and as well as, of course, if there's any type of war or any type of action that requires that particular unit to be deployed to a part of the world, and we've seen many of that, many of those situations happen in the last 10 or 15 years. And so as a result, you see this constant turnover of people, and particularly in your churches. It's kind of a boom or bust kind of a mentality, and you just have to work around that particular cycle, and it can be quite intense. And in fact, most units, military units, you have a 10% turnover of personnel every month. So you can imagine that you always have people coming and going. As a result, as a pastor, it's discouraging at times because you get a family in there, and all of a sudden, oops, they get PCS orders, and they're gone. Or, and you're always having new people coming, and that's a blessing. But then you're just starting over, trying to connect with them. So just know that it's not about – it's not you, or it's not anything you've done, good or bad. It's just that is the nature of military life.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. And something they, of course, have to transition and adjust to. You know, many of our churches have what we call discipleship programs, and these are led by both staff and members in the local churches who want to help others to grow in their faith and feel more a part of the church. Is there anything we can do in these programs specifically to accommodate the needs of our military families?
Yeah, I would just put it in a phrase, keep it simple.
Absolutely.
Keep the discipleship training. And here's one thing about military families that's a little secret that would really be helpful. Military members understand training. We live and die by the training calendar. Everything is planned out months and years in advance. So it's when we go to work every day in a military unit, what's on the training schedule? What am I supposed to be doing? So discipleship is a segue that's so very natural. So when someone comes into your church and you lead them to the Lord, or they're a Christian and they want to grow more, they will usually plug into that and understand a structured form of discipleship or mentoring. And that is so key. But try to keep it as simple as you can. Teach them about the basic things about faith, prayer, giving, service, and reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit, those kinds of things. And plug them into ministry right away. You don't have much time with them. Get them to sing in the choir. Get them in a Sunday school class. And teach them along the way if you need to. They make great, great leaders and workers in your church ministries.
You know, Pastor Greg, I think it's got to be really fulfilling to see particularly military folks come to Christ knowing that they are going to be in harm's way perhaps in the near future. So that's got to be very gratifying.
Yes. You
know, another area of importance to church members today is a sense of community. We spend a great deal of energy building community. Can you share your thoughts on this and tell me, how important is this area of ministry to our military families?
Well, it's vitally important because, remember, community happens so very quickly in the Army. As I said earlier, you know, if you're only at an installation for 3 years, you're an old-timer after 6 months. And you need to be able to connect quickly with people. And it's just part of the human nature. We want to be a part of a family, a community.
Mm-hmm.
So in the military, we try to form relationships quickly. Moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandparents are not there. So we become that for them in the church, and which is in such a contrast to most churches. I've been here 9 years at this church, and, you know, with some families, I'm just now getting to be a part of their lives and in the community as well. It's such a slower, more methodical process. But in the military, as I said, my wife, one of the military families, I have a young girl, I think she's third or fourth grader, and she came up and said, Miss Lenora, would you be my grandmother on Grandmother's Day at school? Because my grandma's not here. And, of course, my wife said, sure. So military families want to be a part of your community, of you as a family, and it happens quick. And so don't be afraid of that. They're used to that, and they'll gravitate towards churches who have that intimate, personal atmosphere that is very inviting.
Mm. Well, Dr. Baxter, thank you for that, but we need to take a short break to honor another branch of our military family. In fact, I don't think you'll mind this particular interruption. The United States Army is the main branch of the United States Armed Forces responsible for land-based military operations. It is the largest and oldest established branch of the U.S. military. So to all of our Army family, we dedicate this familiar anthem.
Greg, I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm, but the music stopped. If you can come back to the microphone now and stop the marching, really would appreciate that. You're a good man. You're a good man, really, but we really need you here at the mic. As the Pastor Program is based right here in Houston, Texas, and we're really a culturally diverse community. Many of our citizens have their heritage from many parts of the world. We end up having a different sort of culture and language. I think the same could be said of the military, regardless of the branch of service. When we are reaching out to the military community, how important is it to learn the language of the military?
Well, of course, just like in any cross-cultural community or community that has different cultures there, yeah, it's so very important. In fact, I kind of share a little kind of paragraph of or to teach people military speak, and what I say is, the battalion FTX starts tomorrow. Make sure everyone has their TA-50 and is ready to hit the SP at 0800. Have your citizen
right.
item checks done by 0500 and your UBL uploaded. And then I try to kind of unpack what that means and teach pastors and family members church members, don't be intimidated by that language. Basically, all it means is that the unit is going to go out for a training exercise, and their TA-50 is their combat gear that they have to have with them. And SP means they have to be ready to move out to that location at 8 o'clock in the morning and have your unit basic load, that is all of your equipment, ready to go, and be ready to head out to that training area. So that military speak, military members and their families, they'll just use it, and it just kind of rolls off their tongue, and sometimes you think they're speaking a foreign language, but it's easy to understand once you kind of can ask questions and figure out some of the basics.
Well, here's my contribution to that. Sir, yes, sir.
All right. I love it.
That's all I've got.
Carry on, soldier.
Thank you, Greg. The language issue is certainly one area we can work on. But help me out. What does the modern military look like? I mean, are we looking at all young people who were in high school a year or two ago? Are they married, single, in transition? What is the makeup or demographics of military at this time?
That's a very interesting question. In terms of demographics, the average age of an active duty person right now is 28 years and 6 months. Officers, the average age is 34 years. And enlisted personnel, the average age is about 27. The interesting thing is over half, 56%, are married. And the majority of officers, almost 70% of officers are married, and over half of enlisted personnel are married. So as you can tell, if you are in a military community, you better be able to have some programs and ministry strategies towards young families with children, youth, single ministries for single folks. Those are the kinds of things that the military community will gravitate to.
Well, that is great. And I think that's good for us to remember. It's too easy to just lock in on a stereotype, but to realize there's a lot of variety taking place, especially the idea of the young marriage, the community, the children that are growing along that's part of that family. Greg, the more you explain, the more I realize there are special needs and situations, but I'm also reminded that they, our military families and individuals, share the traditional roles of church and Christian life as well. Tell me about the role of Christian stewardship in the life of our military.
Well, now being on kind of both sides of that, being a chaplain who ministered in a military chapel setting with families, and now with military families, of course, and retirees, and now out in the community, military members get paid twice a month, just like clockwork. I mean, they just, unless something really unusual happens, their income is very consistent. And if you kind of look over the past 10 and 15 years, Congress has done a very good job with raising the pay of military personnel to equal what their civilian counterparts are doing, and sometimes even in better. They have excellent medical, housing, retirement benefits. And as a result, I think the average church and pastors need to realize that because they have these benefits, sometimes they don't understand the financial needs of the church. I remember as a pastor of a chapel community, they weren't paying my salary. The light bill was paid by the government, all the staff. all the other material, training material, Sunday school, all that stuff was paid for by the government. Many times military members need to be trained in the area of stewardship and to give systematically, to understand that they need to be faithful in their giving. At the same time, Pastor, you need to realize, since these families are only there for 2 or 3 years, many of them become great tithers and givers, but after 3 years, they're gone. And so our church budget really is a boom and a bust. So you have to kind of balance that out. It's kind of like there in Texas, you know, in that oil economy. You know, some years are great, and other years aren't quite as well. So you have to be able to balance all that out and understand that you have to train people to give and when they're in the military, and at the same time realize that their income, of course, leaves with them when they PCS and transfer out, which is the way it should be.
Hmm. You know, something I'll go back to, you mentioned just a moment ago when you were talking about the languages, and you commented that military personnel use this language as second nature. That's what they're doing on the base, for example. But I think it's good for us also to remember, I would say this as a word of instruction to us as church members and leadership, that we have to be careful because we do the same thing, maybe not with the military jargon, but, you know, we speak Christianese so fluently that we may easily be using terms that's new to them as well. Any suggestions for us to watch?
Dr. Lyons, you're absolutely right. In fact, when I went into the Army, of course, from my particular heritage and background as a Baptist pastor, it was three hymns, a special song, and the preacher preached. That was kind of the order of service in a regular Baptist service. And through the years, some of these kids that were coming into the Army didn't have any church background. They didn't know hymns. And so this temporary Christian music and some of these praise hymns and stuff, they really resonated with. So you're absolutely right. We have to be careful about the language that we use and that church culture, churchese, as you call it, is very true. We just have to watch that and make sure that people understand what we're saying.
Absolutely. It's so true. Well, you know, we're honored to take another moment and to welcome another branch of our armed services. More importantly, I ask our listeners to remember that these are more than titles. They're American citizens. They're our neighbors and our family. The United States Air Force is the Aerial Warfare Service branch of the United States Armed Services. Initially part of the United States Army, the U.S. Air Force was formed as a separate branch of the military on 18 September 1947. So thank you to our America's Air Force.
Music reminds me of a favorite actor, James Stewart. You know, he was a colonel in the Air Force, and that's the first thing I thought about when I heard that music.
Amen.
You know, time goes by so quickly, and it's already the top of the hour. For those who are just joining us, we've been speaking with Dr. Greg Baxter, a veteran Army chaplain and presently a full-time pastor at the Faith Journey Church in Lawton, Oklahoma. We have been fortunate enough to take advantage of Dr. Baxter's experience in finding ways born-again believers and local churches can best reach out and serve our military members and their families. As we continue, Greg, let me ask you this. Are we in our own when it comes to ministering to our military families? By that I mean, are there groups or agencies we can refer or network with?
Absolutely. In fact, we as local church pastors and ministry leaders in our communities need to learn to network with military resources such as the community services, social work services, the hospital on post, emergency relief, Red Cross, agencies such as this. These agencies are set up on the installation to help the soldier and his or her family really in ways that churches can't or can't do in a timely way. Mm-hmm. And these helping agencies really do provide resources to help service personnel and their families, particularly in the case of hardship, a death in the family, and other emergencies. So really the church can come alongside these agencies and be not the lead, but can really provide any additional support that that family member needs. In fact, around the Thanksgiving and Christmas time, usually most military installations have a Thanksgiving and Christmas food basket program funded by the chaplains, and we like to be a part of that and either donate a voucher or dollars to that program and help soldiers and their families, military folks and their families during those times of need. So the church doesn't have to take the whole burden of helping these families because the military does try to, as we say, take care of their own.
Mm-hmm. That's so very good. But, you know, we have a lot of pastors who may not have a military background. So tell me, how would they go about making those contacts? I mean, they might not be comfortable just driving up to the front gate. Is there like a central contact point they should work with?
Yes, sir. Dr. Lyons, that's an excellent question. I would start with the installation or the post or the base chaplain's office. And if you're in a military community, there's usually a base phone book. And just if you'll look under installation chaplain or post chaplain or go online, and there's usually a online directory that is free of charge that you can resource through and make an appointment with that installation chaplain. Here in Lawton in the Fort Sill military community, the installation chaplain usually once a year or once every other year invites all the local clergy to the installation, and we have a chance to network and meet the chaplains and talk about ways that we can interface with each other. Because, quite frankly, Dr. Lyons, the chaplains and their staff are so busy with the contemporary or the mission of the moment that many times they need our help and support out in the community with the families and stuff because they are so busy, particularly now that we're in a time of war.
True. And is there a sort of a handshaking relationship in the sense that someone who's on base has an accident is taken to the base hospital? Would the local pastor be notified, or would it strictly be up to the family to make that contact? How would the pastor know about these things?
Excellent question. Again, it's up to the family to make that notification. Usually, the unit chaplain that's assigned to that particular or that soldier assigned to that particular unit, that unit chaplain will try to minister to him. But many times, if the family asks that unit chaplain, I've had them ask me, "Could you call my pastor?" And I would, more, of course, do that. But it's really up to the family member at that point, if they can, to call their local pastor. And they have privileges to come on the post and just at the gate show your ID or share with them what your business is there, and it's usually not a problem to be able to minister to that family.
Well, that's wonderful. I think very practical information for pastors. Greg, on a similar note, let me ask you another question. Today's military, and you just touched on it, has been on extreme alert. Combat pressure has been on ever since 9/11. And people forget sometimes they were still military, they were still serving long before 9/11. Now, the reality is that even in peacetime, military personnel and their incredible families have more than their fair share of stress and trauma. What type of counseling issues should our pastors and church staff anticipate, and what do you feel they can best do in this area of counseling support?
Well, again, I think there's probably at least three areas that the pastor really needs to hone in on when he's talking with military families. Counseling, marriage counseling, crisis counseling, and, of course, just career and or regular individual counseling with that service member and their family. But particularly, there's three issues that I'd ask them to think about. First is, because our nation's been at war since 9/11, 2001, post-traumatic stress. Many soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guard men and women, they returned from the battlefield traumatized. My son was an infantryman with the 1st Infantry Division and was in Fallujah in 2003 and served in a combat environment for over a year, and he came back traumatized. He had to see a professional. We know that there's over 89,000 military personnel who have had post-traumatic stress disorder. The Army has the bulk of those cases, about 67%, the Air Force 9%, the Navy 11%, and the Marines 13%. We estimate that one out of every five military personnel returning from Iraq and Afghanistan suffers from PTSD. That's a lot of folks. We need to also realize that 71% of female military personnel, they develop PTSD due to sexual assault. And, of course, we've seen that in the newspapers and in some of the congressional hearings lately with regard to that particular issue. So PTSD is very important for the pastor to be aware of. Marriage counseling, you know, that goes without saying. Marriages in the military, as I said, over 50% of military families are married. So that means we're going to have marriage issues with children and conflict resolution, relationships, stress, all of those things. You and I as pastors need to be able to come alongside and be able to counsel and work with these military families. Crisis counseling. Even if we're we're not in a state of war, you know, some years we have upwards of 200 military members that are killed in training accidents. So military is a dangerous, dangerous occupation. And then when you add combat operations, well, you know, the chance for injury and death just goes up exponentially. So we need to have a working knowledge of dealing with crisis in the lives of soldiers and their families. I had a pastor call me not more than a couple months ago, and a service member just had come back from, I think it was Iraq, and he was coming home from work, and his young son got a hold of his father's pistol, and as his dad walked through the door, the son inadvertently shot his dad, killed him. Can you imagine the crisis in that church, in that family, in that unit, with that senseless, that tragic death? So crisis counseling is a tremendous integral part of working with military families, and the pastor needs to be able to do that.
And that's so important. I also would throw out there, for the benefit of pastors who might be listening, there's an organization, the American Association of Christian Counselors, and they are hosting training throughout the country, so you can contact them, and it's dealing in these specific areas that you've just mentioned, the crisis counseling, also event counseling. By event counseling, something like 9/11, even if it's just a localized area, when it occurs, it's a different set of circumstances for people to deal with. And so they are offering training that's available. I would encourage churches to look into that. Pastors, you can find lay people who can take that training and become a tremendous asset during that time when those events do take place.
You're right, Dr. Lyons, and I'm board certified with the as a pastoral counselor with the American Association of Christian Counselors, and I do web training on a regular basis, and they have excellent resources. Whether you're the novice counselor or you're trained and you are somewhat of an expert, I won't say expert, but you have many years of experience as a pastoral counselor. They can really help. You're absolutely right.
That's great. Jim, you had a question?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Pastors, thank y'all, both of you, so much for bringing this agenda before us. We are so blessed in this nation, and it's times like this that I think, boy, have I just taken this for granted. And I just thank y'all for bringing this to our attention, because it's so vital, and yet we don't even think about it. We're raised in a land that's free, and it's just not been a big concern. And so thank you for the military. Let me jump in again and take a moment to recognize another branch of America's military family. The United States Marine Corps is a branch of the United States Armed Forces responsible for providing power projection from the sea, using the mobility of the United States Navy to rapidly deliver combined arms task forces. The Marine Corps is a component of the United States Department of the Navy, often working closely with naval forces for training, transportation, logistics. However, make no mistake about it, the Marine Corps is a separate branch, so to all of our Marine families, Semper Fi. I saw John Wayne in my mind. Greg, this may seem an odd question, but tell me, how involved can pastors and members get in the life of our local military now that they are part of a family? For example, is it appropriate or would we be welcome attending any functions they are a part of?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a best-kept secret on the military installation. A pastor can, again, come alongside and really be a part. And I would just recommend a few things. They can go to what we call change of command ceremonies, where that the commander, one commander is leaving, another commander is taking charge of the unit, and you're more than, it's a public event. You're more than welcome to come. What we call hail and farewells. That's an event where it's usually held at a local restaurant, where military members of the same unit welcome new members of the command and say goodbye to members who are leaving the unit. And if you would like to honor your service member there as they're leaving, you would be more than welcome, I'm sure, to go to that particular event. You can go to promotions, award ceremonies and presentations, and, of course, retirement ceremonies. These are very important rites of passage for members of the military and their family. You might even have the opportunity to pray at some of these events. One note of caution, though, it's very important if you do you pray a prayer that's appropriate to the situation. Know your audience. And if you have a doubt or if you're kind of unsure, then talk to someone who maybe has had experience in this area. And not to say that you shouldn't pray as the Holy Spirit leads. However, you do need to be aware of who's there and craft your prayer according to that particular event.
Mm-hmm. That's so very true. I mean, we're coming in there to minister and be a blessing. We don't come in there to start a fight, so to speak.
That's a very good point, Dr. Lyons, yes.
Yes. You know, Greg, I agree with what I've been hearing, and I want to make sure that this will work with the majority of churches. Now, tell me, how can churches deal with the turnover that's going to take place if our military members are deployed or transferred? Do you have any suggestions of how churches can have a continuing core of leadership within their church?
Yes. Usually in a military community, with this rapid turnover of military families, the pastor needs to kind of have a strategic plan to develop a core of leaders by using some of the retired military members. Many mm-hmm. times there's a huge retired community around a local installation for, you know, obvious reasons. There's usually a military hospital, and retirees get military benefits for medical expenses. There's the commissary or the grocery store they can use. So they are still entitled to use some of the services that are on the base or the installation, and these families will settle into that community. And I have two of my deacons are veterans and have retired from the military, and they are such a blessing because they really are an anchor. And our civilian members of the community and of our church, of course, we want to include them and have them a part, of course, our core church membership. So you want to wed these two together, because other folks will be flying through there every 2 or 3 years, and this particular core of leaders will bring a sense of real stability and kind of keep that pastor on even keel. As, man, my heart just gets torn out when some people leave and others come in. You just kind of go, oh, man, you know, I don't want these people to leave. They really give you they help ground you, so you don't kind of get discouraged.
That's great.
You know, Pastor Greg, I'm just curious. Do you get correspondence from people that you ministered to years ago? Is there any follow-up on their part to thank you, or any correspondence at all?
You know, again, that's a blessing in and of itself. I can remember over the years, many years I've served in the Army, I would hold evangelistic services, or I would be in a training unit where we would have 200, 300, 400 young people there at our service, and we would lead 20, 30, 40 to the Lord. And I have no idea where they're at today, these many years later. But on the other hand, even since I've been here at Faith Journey Church, people that have moved away, they'll come back on leave, or they will, if they're out of the Army or military, they will come through and come by the church, and they want to still connect with you. It really is a blessing. And also military personnel that leave your church who are strong believers, they're almost like missionaries from your church, and they go to other installations and other places around the world, and they really do still resonate with you and with the people there. And we really have left a very positive impact and impression upon them. So, yes, that's a tremendous blessing.
You know, I'm still curious about, most churches have their own personalities. I don't mean individual people in the church. I mean a uniqueness about the individual local church or pastor. Do you have any concerns or suggestions regarding the personality, or perhaps a better phrase might be, philosophy of ministry of the individual pastor or local church?
Yes, and again, remember, military members, they are in a variety of locations around the United States and overseas, and so they have been part of many different churches, so they have been exposed to various philosophies of ministries, and some of these folks are strong personalities, so when they come to your church and they really want to be a part of it, sometimes they might not have the very same philosophy of ministry you do. Don't be intimidated by that, and of course, don't change who you are, but just be aware that they bring this rich diversity of different views, and, you know, just be willing to manage some of that without feeling intimidated that they might not believe exactly what someone in your church has been there for 40 years believes, because they're just going to have a richness and a variety of understanding about church that maybe the average church member might not have.
Well, I thank you so much, and at this time we'd like to take just a moment to recognize the next branch of military service. The United States Navy is the Naval Warfare Service branch of the United States Armed Services. It's larger than the next 13 largest navies combined in terms of battle fleet tonnage. The Navy traces its origins to the Continental Navy, which was established during the American Revolutionary War. So, to all of our Navy families listening, thank you for your service. We'll be right back.
jump in and say this. My daddy was a Navy man, and I can still hear him say, "Boys, hit the deck."
Excellent, excellent. Greg, our military, by the very nature of their responsibilities, they travel the world. I like what you said earlier about an offense to become missionaries. But they meet other cultures, and they share what it means to be an American and often what it means to be a Christian. Yet I also realize they fall in love, they get married to people from other countries and cultures sometimes. From your experience, are there any special needs or opportunities for Christians and pastors in our churches here in the States which have military families where the spouse may be cross-cultural from what we're acquainted with?
Absolutely. In fact, those service members marry wives from other countries, particularly those from Korea, Japan, Panama, Germany, other Western European countries, and it's very important for the pastor to be able to kind of work within these different cultures in order to help these couples and families, particularly in the area of marital expectations, communication, conflict resolution issues. And these families also bring a diversity and a richness to your congregation, particularly in the area of missions. They bring an insight to their home country and can give a firsthand account of exactly what it's like in that part of the world. And it really helps the pastor in that area to deal with. So it's really, you really have a mission field right there in your church. It's really a blessing.
That's great.
What a great blessing this has been, Dr. Baxter. I just want to thank you for spending this time with us, and I know the Ask the Pastor audience appreciates this. Do you have anything in closing you'd like to add?
Well, just to say that it's been a blessing and a pleasure to serve a military community for many years. My heart, when you cut me, I bleed green. I was a soldier and still consider myself such. It was a blessing to be able to minister to that part of our community. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to highlight the men and women who serve in our great military here in the United States, and appreciate you all. And I know that God is using you in a tremendous way in getting the gospel out, and particularly sharing or giving us opportunity during this time to share how we can help military members and their families. So thank you very much. I appreciate what you're doing.
Just one last thought. Did I hear you say you have a website, and I wondered if you could share that site with us?
Yes, sir, I do. Our website is faith-journey.us. That's faith-journey.us.
Wonderful. Pastor Charles?
Well, again, I want to thank you as well. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to have this time that we can share together. It is very special, and I hope people will keep the right focus of 4th of July. It's so much more than a simple holiday or a time to be off from work. I want to thank Jim and all of you who have so faithfully listened to Ask the Pastor. Thank you to our military families that sacrifice so much and have given so much for our freedom. I recall the story from my uncle from World War II, and he had been in South Africa fighting for so long, and here he was back home, and my mother and he were walking down the street passing a fire station when the fire alarm went off, and the next thing that Mom knew is that she was down there on the ground. Uncle had immediately thrown her to the ground and had jumped to the ground as well, because of the time he had spent there in South Africa, that usually meant sirens going off that they were about to be attacked and bombed. You see, in Washington, D.C. in the 1940s, that didn't startle people. They helped them up. They tried to keep them from being embarrassed. They encouraged them. Our service personnel are coming back from some very difficult times. And things that they've had to deal with has become normal. And it's not going to be normal when they get back. So don't be afraid to step up, put your arm around a soldier who's come back home or the family who's there, and encourage them, make them feel welcome. an incredible, valuable part of the church family. Tonight, on July 4th, our special appreciation to our God, who has given us the freedom of worship, a free nation, and the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation. To all on this special evening, good night, and may God grant us mercy, give us grace, and may God truly bless America.
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.brightlions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I want to tell you about a program that has been a real surprise for me. Now, I don't normally listen to or even care for religious programs, but these two guys are different. The program's called Ask the Pastor, and it has a team of co-hosts, Pastor Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. Pastor Charles is a writer and helps people who are troubled when they call in and they need someone to talk to. Jim works a regular job and also volunteers listening to and helping others. It's not what you expect from a religious program. They're Christian, they teach the Bible, and they talk about things that are going on in the real world. And more than that, they listen to people and they talk with them, not at them. As I said, the program's called Ask the Pastor, and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday night. I think you'll be really surprised. No, I won't.